Nearly two-thirds of the COVID-19 positive cases in Washtenaw County are on the University of Michigan's campus. U of M officials have been briefing the campus community weekly with updates and information about campus COVID-19 conditions and responses. With us today to talk about how the university has been responding to this is Dr. Robert Ernst, an Associate Vice President of Student Life for Health and Well-Being. He's also an assistant professor at the University of Michigan's Medical School. Dr. Ernst, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you.
In your weekly COVID briefs, you've mentioned that the rate of off-campus positive cases flattened during the stay-in-place recommendations, but that they've spiked once again. What's going on here?
Well, we had the stay-in-place order for several weeks ago, and things did flatten during that time. That was an intervention that we worked on jointly with the Washtenaw County Health Department. We've had a really great working relationship with the public health experts there, and it was a strategy that's been employed at a number of other peer institutions. We did it ourselves back in the fall. It had a much greater impact in the fall, where I think we were seeing cases both off-campus as well as in our large on-campus residence halls. So I think since in the current semester where we have much lower density of students in the residence halls, the effect of that strategy was, I think, more limited. What we have seen over the last week or so is actually a decline in cases, and that's been really encouraging. It's been through a lot of student engagement work and with really continued diligent containment efforts.
Yeah. Can you tell us about the COVID protocols in place on campus at this time?
The spaces on campus are pretty quiet right now. Probably 15 or 20% of all instruction is being done in person. And those spaces where instruction is being done have been really carefully reviewed for maintenance of social distancing. And there's a mandate for universal masking, which I think is really, really important. So there are a number of researchers on campus come to campus very safely every day, you know, maintaining the social distance protocols and wearing the masks, same in the classrooms. And we haven't seen transmission in these spaces. We have a lower population of students living in on-campus residence halls this semester. And those students are all in single rooms. So there's no double occupancy for undergraduate students this semester, and all students living in the residence halls and those coming to campus either for instruction or for work or to use the facilities are required to have had a COVID test within the past week.
Right. What have you observed of the kind of interventions that have worked to really change people's behaviors over the course of the pandemic?
Well, I think it's this has been going on for so long, The infection itself is something we're learning more and more about, and there's been much made about how transmission is person to person and less so on surfaces, for instance. And I think that adherence to the masking is really, really important. We've seen that wearing an appropriately fitting and comfortable mask can really lower the transmission rate. And I think as much as we can do to encourage folks that when they're outside their family unit or their close cohort of folks that they live with to wear a mask, we really see low rates of transmission. So getting that message across on a consistent basis is really, really important. It's difficult in a university setting that's built around, you know, mixing and movement. And we have a lot of folks come from all over the place, and not unexpectedly at changes of the term, we get people coming in from other places. And that's a risk time. It's happened in the community as well, where we've seen outbreaks around the holidays and times when people are traveling, and mixing is a real concern. So I think consistency with these strategies is really important. Engagement with student groups to, you know, encourage ongoing maintenance of these mitigation strategies. Cooperation with the public health officials, if people are contacted and informed that they're a close contact, to really work with the public health teams to receive instructions about the need for quarantine or isolation is really, really important. And I think many of our students are really working hard, and nobody wants to get COVID. So we're really trying to engage the population to stay consistent. Fortunately, there's light at the end of the tunnel. We're seeing success with the movement of the vaccine, and I know everyone's hopeful for that to continue over the coming months.
Right. What are you thinking about these days in terms of the ways to influence off-campus behavior?
We've tried a variety of different strategies. You know, our student engagement teams have relationships with student leaders, you know, and I think also offering alternatives to, you know, the social gatherings has been really important too. You know, this is a very difficult time for all of us, and young people are, like the rest of us, affected by isolation and trying to, you know, provide not just instructions about what not to do, but what can be done safely is really something that our partners in student life have been trying to do as well.
It's no secret that some large gatherings are still happening off campus. In your view, is it time for the university to take a harder line on people who are enrolled, who are involved in such things?
Well, you know, it's a really difficult thing to manage, as we've been talking about. And I think it does require, you know, collaboration at different levels. You know, there have been, you know, instances of the county sending citations to different addresses for violating the imposed orders. And I think that's really important to do that thing, to do that. We're also committed to really providing tools to identify folks who are at least not exhibiting behaviors around the expectations around testing. So for instance, we've updated our handheld phone app that manages both the symptom entry as well as our ability to track students' behaviors around testing. And we can map that to enrollment status for inpatient or in-person classes. And we're following up with those students individually. So we are working with students and trying to identify those who are exhibiting behaviors that are inconsistent with the expectations. We don't think it's most students. We think a lot of students are really trying really hard to do what's right. You know, we found that students who are outside the mandate groups, for instance, you know, are not in any in-person classes and we don't think have any work relationship with the campus have testing behaviors over 70%, you know, and that's a really high number. So we think a lot of students are really working hard, and it's difficult to track some of those down who are consistently, you know, not observing the expectations, but we have tools in place and we're working with them.
Can you give us an update on how U of M is addressing the new clusters, including the B.1.1.7 variant?
Yeah, that was a really challenging wrinkle into our response we found this winter semester. I think it was an example of our colleagues in public health at the Environment, Health, and Safety team that do the case investigation that were really astute to anticipate that could be a possibility. And we're very fortunate, as you said in your introduction, that we have a close working relationship with the labs at Michigan Medicine, and to determine that the clusters that we had early on in the semester were associated with the B.1.1.7 variant. We were pretty aggressive in terms of our response to that. We have extended out the layers of a contact in terms of our quarantine practices. We're really closely working with partners at the county and the state to consider strategies there. And we're aligning those strategies and listening to the advice that we had from the state. And, you know, fortunately, it appears that those clusters have been fully contained. So that was good news. And it was a scary time, but we are continuing to remain vigilant. We have testing capabilities for at least that particular variant. If the public health teams that are investigating cases think that there's a concern based upon a cluster or a history that might be suggestive, we have the ability to run those specimens on those analyzers to give us that information.
We talked to someone yesterday who's an undergrad who said he's not sure what anyone expected when we invited a bunch of 18 and to 20-year-olds back to a congregate living situation in the presence of a contagious respiratory disease. What's your take on that?
Well, I'm not sure exactly, you know, the context of that. We certainly have a lot of experience dealing with this age group. This is our work, you know. Our mission is to provide a Michigan experience for the students, and it's certainly a big challenge to try and come up with mitigation strategies for this novel virus that none of us have experience with. So we certainly understand the interests of students to come both for an academic experience as well as a co-curricular experience. And it has been difficult to try and give students the Michigan experience that they want. We can't have that right now. I think that there is an expectation that there's going to be a better future. And I think I'm very optimistic for the fall that we'll be closer to that kind of experience with still some ongoing mitigation strategies. But
yeah, that was my next question. Given the rate of testing and vaccination at the U of M, do you think that students and faculty might be able to be back on campus?
I'm very optimistic about that. You know, I know active discussions going on with our academic partners and partners in student life, and I think that's what everybody hopes for. Yes, I'm very optimistic about that.
Dr. Rob Ernst is an Associate Vice President of Student Life for Health and Well-Being and also an Assistant Professor at Michigan Medicine. Dr. Ernst, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.